Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. We have a good show today for anyone that likes dogs, cats, and our local animal shelter, which just last week made the big move of changing its name from the Panhandle Animal Shelter to the Better Together Animal Alliance. If you've wondered what's up with that, listen on as we talk with the group's executive director, Mandy Evans, vice president of the Alliance Board of Director, Kelly West, and communications specialist Lisa Gerber. They tell the why behind the name change, as well as how they've approached the change and all the services the Better Together Animal Alliance provides. But first, here are a few words about this show. We air community conversations every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. with recorded interviews on local issues. Plus, there's a podcast of each show available after airtime on our website at krfy.org. The shows are recorded a few days prior to airtime while we continue to observe coronavirus precautions that have closed our small studio to live interviews. But we're sure looking forward to the day when we can get back in the studio for live broadcasts. So with that, let's get on with today's talk about the Better Together Animal Alliance.
We're talking now with Mandy Evans, Executive Director. Mandy, say hi.
Hello.
And we have with us Kelly West, Vice President of the Board of Directors.
Hello.
And Lisa Gerber, who goes by the title of Communications and Storytelling Strategist. Lisa.
Hello.
Well, you are all three with the organization formerly known as the Panhandle Animal Shelter, but as of about 1 week ago, is now called the Better Together Animal Alliance. So to kick things off here, you have a new name. What's the big idea?
Well, I will jump in and say that about 2 years ago, we initiated our strategic planning process and spent about 10 months really digging into all the different aspects of our work. And what came out of that was a pretty big light bulb moment that our name and then our mission statement really no longer reflected the culture and heart and the work of our organization. So we rewrote our mission statement, and that was approved and moved forward right away. And the naming process took a little bit longer. And that's where we brought in Lisa Gerber to help us with the process. Lisa, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So it's rare that I think it's a good idea to rename an organization. That's a really big deal and a big decision. So honestly, when Andy and I started our conversation, like the first minute, I was thinking in my head, how am I going to talk her out of this? And then as soon as she started explaining what she just, you know, described just now, it made so much sense to me. And I totally agree with the choices that they made. They've clearly outgrown their name. So what we did was embarked on a research process where we really wanted to get like a 360 degree perspective of really the story of, you know, I'm going to call Panhandle Animal Shelter because that's what it was when we were doing this, right? And really what we're doing when we name an organization is almost like giving the story a title, right? So how are you going to boil this down to just a couple of words? And we wanted to make sure we weren't operating out of a vacuum. So we, you know, I had a lot of meetings, I had interviews, we had a stakeholder workshop for half the day with the board and some key donors and some staff, and was a volunteer as well, mm-hmm. Mandy? Some volunteers. Yeah. So a nice mix. But we also did an intentional survey. You know, we're really careful about the questions that we asked so that we could pull out some stories from the community members. So I think that went out to thousands of people. And really, the survey was really key to getting really specific information so that we could get the stories and what people thought of when they think of Panhandle Animal Shelter. So I will keep going.
Well, tell us that story. What do they think of when they, when somebody says the word panhandle animal shelter, what kind of feedback did you get on that?
We got things like, when I drive by, I feel a sense of gratitude that Panhandle Animal Shelter is in our community. We got comments about different programs. So the trap neuter release, you know, we just love that this is here and what it does for our community in reducing, Mandy, what it reduces,
community counts.
Thank you. What else did we hear?
There was a question on there about, like, what would the world be like, or what would the community be like if Panhandle Animal Shelter no longer existed? And it was really interesting to read all the responses about, it would be horrible. It would be, I would feel so sad for our community animals. So there was a great sense of appreciation for the work, but a lot of the comments also spoke to how meaningful pets are to our community members, and they're an important part of their lives.
So we looked at all of that, just, you know, basically just spread it out on a table and look at all of this information. And it just kept going back to this idea of, you know, I use the term symbiotic relationship, but we didn't want to go there. We didn't want to use like that scientific term of the symbiotic relationship, but it was clearly, you know, the saying when you talk about the dog that you rescued and everyone says, well, who rescued who? And again, that's another word that we don't use anymore in the animal welfare space, but still this idea of the symbiotic relationship, not only between the pet and the human, but also the organization and the community. And that's where the idea of Better Together came to me, because for those reasons. And then we worked a lot on the qualifier piece of it and, you know, played with a lot of different configurations there because we wanted human to be a part of it, but that started to get too much. And so, yeah, we landed at Better Together Animal Alliance.
Yes, the human part is implied in that, isn't it?
That's exactly.
So, Kelly, let's bring you in on this as the VP of the board. What was the board role, and how was the board taking this idea of renaming the animal shelter?
Well, you know, people are always a little shy of change. I think a lot of people were really tied to the panhandle part of the name, not necessarily the shelter part, but getting rid of the panhandle component seemed very scary and kind of losing our roots. But as a person who's been on the board for 6 years and seeing the national recognition that we are getting for our different programs from home to home and participation in Pets for Life and all the recognition that Mandy's getting from speaking, that shelter just didn't describe us anymore. And panhandle was just too narrowing. And we're just so much bigger than that now. We're not just a place for animals to go and be in cages. Our job is to try and help them not have to come into the shelter and be cared for. With a stay. So as a board member, at first I was like, oh yeah, I don't know. But now that I understand all of our programs and where we're headed, it makes perfect sense. And and I just think it emits a really great feeling that that organizations need these days.
Mm-hmm. Mandy, you mentioned that the decision to rename kind of followed from a rethinking of your mission statement a year and a half or so ago. So if you can expound on that a little bit, what's the mission of the Better Together Animal Shelter?
So our old mission had three words that we don't like. And, you know, and all of a sudden, it's just like anything else. You realize, oh, my gosh, like the founding statement of our organization, like the structure of our organization has these three words we don't like. And the three words are abandoned, neglected, and abused. And the only reason we know that these things happen, but they imply that they happen all the time, and they don't. It's about 1% of the time that we see that. And the other factor is that neglected. What does that mean? What does neglected mean? It means purposefully neglected when what we see is a gap in access to care. And so what we wanted to do is work to say, hey, where are we putting our resources? Let's put them into proactive activities that really are reaching out and keeping families together rather than separating them. So we went from a mission statement that was really about, in a sense, giving the community a negative perception of community members, and we turned it into one that is about supporting the meaningful connections of dogs, cats, and the people who love them, because that really is essentially what we do. And I can give an example of that. Like today, I've been on three different calls and doing research on the homelessness issue in our county. And what is that going to look like in the coming months? We know right now that we have clients coming in who are getting food from us that are living in their cars. And what we want to know is, what are the other groups in town doing to help people in the situation? And how do we get connected to them so that they don't feel like their only option is to surrender their pet? Because they love their pet. It's part of their family. So because we've made this shift, we actually have the time and resources to be going out and partnering with other community organizations and government to try to help people where they need it, rather than being in a reactive seat where we're just sitting here going, okay, oh, you can't have your pet. All right, bring it to us. Really, the basis of our success should be that our kennels are empty. But so much of the time, people are judging the success of an organization on how many animals they have in cages. And so we're trying to shift that thought process. We're also a part of the Idaho State Coalition, trying to be a no-kill state by 2025. No-kill means that animals are not euthanized, that are healthy and adoptable. And we received an award from Best Friends last year for cutting our kill rate in the state in half. So when we look at transferring and partnering, we're doing that within our state rather than bringing animals in from California and Texas and other places. We want to partner with our shelters so that we can reach that no-kill status by 2025.
So can you boil it down to percentages of services that you offer now, say, compared to what percentage is holding animals in the shelter there versus the other kinds of services like the food program or helping with spay and neuter or other sorts of services? Is it, because I think the traditional view of a shelter is it's all about animals and cages.
Right, right. Well, I can't give you percentages, and you've known me long enough that you should never ask me a math question, especially on air. So I can give you, in 2019, we served 2,500 animals in our building, which I think should be noted was the most we've ever served in our building before. But overall, we helped over 8,500, or is it 89? I'm so bad. 8,500 animals in total. And that 2,500 is a part of that number. So you can see that our reach and our ability to help in the community is far greater by having a larger scope than just looking at animals in cages. And this year, I'm expecting that we'll probably be on the same track.
So one thing that occurred to me is that animal shelters used to be called dog pounds.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And I think the whole, you don't actually hear them called dog pounds anymore. So there was a shift that took place. When was that? Maybe the 80s or something, or the 90s, yeah. Where we stopped calling animal shelters dog pounds because it sounds like they're going to jail. rather than providing shelter. So animal shelter was a much kinder term for this type of service that you provide. But sounds like you're taking it a step further than that with the idea of an animal alliance, the better together part especially.
Well, what we're going to be calling the shelter is the animal care center, because we have clients that come in for vet visits and vaccines through our Pets for Life program. So they're receiving those services for free. We have pets that come in for microchipping for all sorts of reasons. And so it's really an animal care center. And I think that you're going to start to see that as a trend throughout the country, that we are evolving as a sector to really be more focused on supporting our community in different ways.
Okay.
You're so much more than a shelter too. I mean, and that's, that's the reason for the broader term. There are so many other programs that just aren't the shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Lisa, let's go back to the process of, deciding to rename it. Okay. You actually kind of built up to a reveal, I thought, because I noticed you had some emails that went out that said, hey, we're going to have a big announcement. Mm-hmm. Walk us through, how you decided to roll out there. So it's been, a little over 2 weeks now, or just 2 weeks since you made the announcement?
January 25th. Yeah. A little over a week. And we actually held off for quite a bit of time as well to find the right time to do it. Do you want to talk more about that, Mandy, or should we just say that this just felt like the right time?
Yeah, we were planning on doing this last year in the first quarter. And then guess what happened in the first quarter of last year? COVID! So we decided to postpone. And then in the fall, really brought the team back together and said, we are doing this, and put all the pieces in place.
So we did want to do a reveal, and we talked at length about how we wanted to do that and if we did want to do a reveal, and that just felt, it just felt right, because it is such a big decision and it's such a big change. And we wanted to be very clear and intentional about it, but we also didn't want to just spring it on people. So we weren't trying to be mysterious, but we did want to kind of lead up to it. Like, hey, we have some big news coming. And then in the meantime, Mandy and the team were communicating with key people so that they knew in advance, donors and strategic partners and that kind of thing. So there was the proper, I don't know if you'd call it the hierarchy of communication, was happening at the same time, while we were also able to share stories and kind of lead into this idea of beyond sheltering. So that's where Dan on Mandy's team was getting videos from the stories of the surveys that we had, from the survey we had done. We chose a handful of those stories and asked them to come in and tell them on video so that we could use different clips as the social media lead up.
Yeah, I watched a few of those. So by the time this thing airs on Thursday, you'll be in a week and a half, I guess, on the name change. What kind of feedback have you gotten?
Most of the feedback has been really positive. We've had a few people who have simply said that they don't. I mean, and when I say a few, I really mean like three who have said that they don't really like the name, but they also thought that we were doing great work. So it wasn't like an offense to them that the name changed. They just don't like change. So I think that overall, it's been really successful, well-received, and we hope that, we know, let's just be honest, everyone's still going to call it the shelter. We know that. And that's, it's not a bad thing. Like, we know that there will be a transition there. So, and I went to Starbucks the other day, and as I was there, the barista looked through the window and said, "Oh, is that a shelter dog or is that your dog?" And then she's like, "Oh, I can't call it the shelter. What do I say?" And I said, "Oh, the animal care center." And she's like, "Oh, okay, okay." But I thought it was so cool that this random person knew, and like it was clicking already that there was this change happening.
That random person was aware that there'd been a name change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's gonna certainly take a while for it to percolate down. Just the knowledge that you've changed the name, much less dropping into the popular usage.
Right.
You know, I compare it to like when a ski run up at Schweitzer changes name, like, or even a chairlift, right? But like K-Max was D-Shoot for years after they changed the name, but now you don't hear that anymore. So in a few years, it'll stick, I'm sure.
And this isn't the first time that this has happened. So the shelter initially was called Friends of the Shelter. And then it was changed to Panhandle Animal Shelter. And now it's being changed to Better Together Animal Alliance. And Chris, one of the feedback feedback I received was someone said, "I just don't know. I want to think about it. But I think it's because it's not like, it doesn't describe a place. And that's kind of bothering me." And I'm like, exactly. Like, that's the point, is that we do a ton of work. Like, you know, we do a lot of work in Idaho. We're the partner shelter for Post Falls Animal Shelter. We have 50, I think at this point, we have 56 shelters using Home to Home throughout North America, including shelters in Canada. So we just have a broader scope, but our roots and everything that we do here absolutely haven't changed. It's just that our organization is somewhat like we say an octopus. You know, you've got your thrift store arm, we have a medical arm, we have the sheltering piece, and we have the more national piece as well.
Are there any other animal shelters that have rebranded or renamed like this that you might be aware of? Because I'm sure other shelters are experiencing that same phenomenon where they're really expanding their services.
Yeah, so we participate in two national calls a week on Monday and Friday, where 150 to 200 representatives from shelters all over the country join. And so that's why I can confidently say that these are trends that are happening in animal welfare. It's the reason that Home to Home has grown so much, is this realization, and COVID was what did it, was I think that you just get comfortable in the role you're in and you just intake animals that need help. And all of a sudden, when COVID happened and we couldn't intake animals like we did before, it really forced shelters throughout the country to rethink their model. And how do we partner with community members to help them not have to rely on the sheltering aspect of our work? And so you've guessed, there are, I can't off the top of my head tell you which shelters in particular have rebranded, but Dr. Sarah Pisano with Team Shelter USA was on one of those national calls. And in the chat, she said, "We all need to remove shelter from our names." So I think it's going to be, it's a trend that we'll see.
And you're on the cutting edge, I'm sure.
I always like to be right there, Chris. I always like to be right there.
So what are the numbers of the animals in the care center at present? Actually, let me back up before we go address that question. You mentioned Home to Home, and I'm going to guess that we have a few people listening that aren't really familiar with what Home to Home is, but this is actually a national program that you rolled out here at the, what we formerly called the Panhandle Animal Shelter. Describe what that's about, because that's a key element of the way shelters are changing, I think.
Yeah, so in 2015, we saw a 15% increase in owner surrenders to our shelter. And it was from the greater area. It wasn't just our Bonner County residents. And we started to do some research. What are other shelters doing to help with owner surrenders? And a lot of shelters at that time were deferring intake. So, oh, you know, here's an appointment in 2 weeks, and then celebrating when that pet didn't come into the shelter. But that didn't make sense to me because we're really the main facility in our community. And that would not, that I just didn't like that idea. So we wanted to create something that really gave our community members the tools and resources that they could help themselves. And because we believe that we are equal to our community, we are no better. We don't have any secret skills that they don't have. We knew that they were just as capable of finding the right owner for their pet as we would be. And even better, because they're giving the direct information of what the pet is like in a home. A lot of the time when pets come into a shelter, they change. And it could be for the better and it could be for the worse. So by going from one home to another, we're really allowing these pets to shine. So we created Home to Home so people in our community could post their pet. It is directly posted to our Facebook page. So community members that are seeking animals will see these people's pets and they get in contact directly with the owner. So those pets that are looking to be rehomed never enter into the shelter system. The owners contact the potential interested parties. They work it out. They meet each other, and that pet goes from one home to another. So it's been really great. And then we expanded the program in, I think, 2017 and added more shelters nationally. And now we're at almost 60 shelters, and we're working with LA County. Right now we have LA City, Seattle Humane, Dallas Animal Services. And I just have to give a plug to Keoki because Keoki built the home-to-home system and really provided us with the tools to be able to help these shelters and save lives.
So with home-to-home in place right now, is that I'm sure that's cut down on the number of animals in the shelter, but what are the numbers that you have in the shelter at present or kind of generally speaking now?
So in what I would call normal times, because even right now traditionally is a low time. So during normal times, we have 10 to 20 dogs and about 50 cats. And right now that's significantly less. And home to home has definitely played a role in that, especially getting the community used to using it last year because our intake had to be, our protocols had to be changed due to COVID. But we know that we're going to be back to normal working condition when the season begins, which is really in just a few months when spring hits.
Is that a season that's because animals are having more babies in?
We just see an influx. Right now is kind of a slower time. And then we start to see an influx of animals. And it could be, you know, tourists are coming. There's just all different reasons why animals would come to the shelter. And just to give some clarity on that, we hold the municipal contracts for Bonner County, the city of Sandpoint, and the city of Ponderay. So any stray dogs that are picked up are brought here to be housed. And then we do everything we can. We have an enormously high return to owner rate. So animals that come in are reunited with their owners. I think it's 85% of the time for dogs. And I think the national average is like 13%. So we do a pretty good job. And that's when I say we, I mean our community, because they're the ones that really make the difference in that, sharing the Facebook posts, talking to each other and helping people find their pets. And one last thing, sorry, I feel like I've just taken over here. One of the things we're doing right now is we're seeing a lot of need around our temporary loving care program, which is called TLC. And that's a program where people who are experiencing and trying to escape domestic violence have a place. We will board their pets for them for free. We have pets currently where the people are in the hospital and don't have any other family or the means to pay for boarding. So we have seen an increase in that since the fall. So right now the building is being utilized to help people, again, keep their animals and not have to surrender them due to circumstances out of their control.
And the care center, the shelter, still a good place for somebody that's looking to adopt an animal to come, right? You want a new puppy, or you want to get a dog or a cat. That's a prime place for people to look for to find that companion, I hope.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can go to our bettertogetheranimalalliance.org and look at adoptable animals. You can visit our home to home page at btaa.home-home.org to see what community pets are available for adoption as well.
BTAA, you guys are going to get shorthanded on that. I mean, using the acronym is probably going to become a common thing, I bet.
Well, what we've been having, people are like, oh, I'm going to go to the AA. And I'm like,
The Animal Alliance. Yeah. Stick a BT in front of that, okay? I'm going to direct this question back to Kelly. So, Kelly, what sorts of things do you think the board is interested in pursuing now that you've made this kind of big change? What's up next?
I think it would be to get further funding for the home-to-home program through hopefully some major donors. And I think it opens up the doors to help us or have us help our community in a much more meaningful and complete way, instead of shaming people for not being able to take care of their pets, but actually helping them take care of their pets. I think that's just so important and just such a change in philosophies of what used to be. So, and we're very proud of Mandy for all the great ideas she has, and she just goes out and gets it all done, and she's been a true gem for BTAA.
Yeah, she wants to be out there on the cutting edge. So we're going to wrap up in a few minutes here, but I'm sure there's other things to talk about. One thing being you did mention Pets for Life, and really I think that's kind of the term you use to cover all these different services, right?
Now, Pets for Life is a very specific program.
Okay.
Yeah. So so before we touch on that, we also have a helpline. So about 2,500 animals and people are served. So we'll help people who can't pay their medical bill for some reason. And it's really qualified. Like, they have to go through our medical department to see what we will, what we'll cover and what we won't. Training support, all sorts of things to try to help people that are struggling. We also last year gave out 25 tons of dog and cat food to people in need. And then Pets for Life is the coolest program ever. It is a Humane Society of the United States program. So we are a PFL shelter. And basically, the program is established with the belief that there are people who really love their animals that have a lack of access to the things they need, and that it's not the desire to just not give them to their pets. They want them. So we have a PFL team member that literally goes door to door, knocking on doors and saying, "Hi, I'm with Better Together Animal Alliance. Do you have pets and how can I help you?" And so many of our stories that we get are from the relationships that are built through this program of simply meeting people where they're at. Our Pets for Life team member, Kendra, will drive people to their appointments. She brings food and does nail trims when she's there, really builds quality relationships with these community members that otherwise might not have reached out for help.
Oh, that's another cool thing from the Animal Alliance. well, we should also mention that, Mandy, you have a podcast.
I do. And Chris weaves himself into our world in so many ways because he named the podcast, I think kind of by joke, right? You emailed me.
I just kind of threw it out there. And who knows? Turned into the name of the podcast. Yeah.
Yes. So the podcast is called People Are Animals Too, Darn It.
I think the original phrase but anyways,
a lot better.
And how often do you post a new podcast?
I'm taking a break right now because of the rebrand and everything. I'm planning on getting it up and going again, hopefully in March, but we were posting every week and it's really talking about the human aspect of animal welfare. So we interviewed like a veterinarian to talk about the position they're in when people can't afford service, but they need to, these veterinarians need to pay their staff, they need to pay themselves. And it's this conflict that happens with many veterinarians that they're drawn to the work due to wanting to help and save lives and having to make those financial decisions. Where in human medicine, the insurance companies are somewhat of a buffer there. In veterinary medicine, it's different. So we just talk about those type of things and how the human aspect and bring awareness to the human aspect so that we can be kinder to people. And I just have to say that I know that I'm the ED, but I couldn't do, like, I don't do all this work. I have a phenomenal team of people who all care so much about the work we do. We consider ourselves really a value-based organization that makes decisions off what is right, not as what is easy. And that requires having really dedicated, driven team members that care a lot about the work they do. We couldn't do any of this without them. They're great.
All right. Well, kudos to them. Kudos to all of you folks too for making it happen as well. So I'll tell you what, here's a good way to go out. I'm going to ask a question I don't know the answer to, so it's dangerous, but who all here has a rescue pet or some animal from the shelter?
I do.
Everybody, strangely enough. So, okay, Lisa, start with you. Tell us about your buddy there.
I have a rescue, Murphy. He is a Bernese Mountain Dog, and someone bought him at a Petco and decided they didn't want him, put him up for sale, couldn't sell him. Then, I don't know, boarded him for 6 weeks while they tried to sell him, then dropped him off at a rescue, and that's when we crossed paths with Murphy, and he'd been to what, 4 or 5 homes by the time he was 7 months old. Poor thing.
Yeah. All right. Kelly, do you have a rescue animal?
I do. I actually got a Wisla from Panhandle Animal Shelter, and she was 1 year old and was running down the highway with another dog who was a yellow lab who was also 1 year old. And they both had electric collars on and the wires were all sprung, and a guy picked them up in the truck and brought them in, and they were both chipped. And so the animal shelter called the owners and said, "Hey, are you wanting your two young pups back?" And they're like, "No, they keep escaping and they're a pain in our butts and we don't want them anymore." And so I was lucky enough to get the Wisla, and she did escape my yard for the first 3 years, no matter what we did. But now she realizes she has a great home and she doesn't escape anymore.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you about my rescue dog. He's a Bernese Mountain Dog too. He's a mix, actually. He's not purebred, but he sure looks like one. Looks like a little bit smaller than a typical Bernese. And he's like the most chill dog ever. Very cool dog. And my wife, Sandy, is the one that found him and fell in love with him at the shelter and brought him home. And he's been just great. Mandy, how many?
That's a good question. I actually now have 3 dogs. I have Chi-Chi, Juju. Both are Chihuahuas, and they both came from transports. Juju was in the shelter for about 3 weeks and would not get over an upper respiratory infection. And so because everybody here knew I had a soft spot for Chihuahuas, they asked if I could bring her home and just see if being in a different environment helped her. And I did, and it did help her, and I kept her. She's my favorite. And then I have Rosie, who is a terror and a bigger dog. She's a hound mix.
Okay, well, was there another one?
No, I just have to tell you a random story, because you both have, I mean, Lisa, your Burmese looks huge. This was right when I started. It's actually, I just celebrated my 10 years here at the organization. And within, I think, the first year, someone brought in 3 St. Bernard puppies, and they were still puppies. They were the biggest St. Bernards I've ever seen in my life. They were like giant bears. We had to put them in a big room together, and they bought them as puppies, thinking that they wanted to, and they were eating them out of house and home, which is why they ended up bringing them to the shelter. So always, always check what you're getting before you get a puppy.
Okay, well, with that, we are going to say goodbye, but Mandy Evans and Kelly West and Lisa Gerber, thanks for talking. And Mandy, tell us how people find you online now. Kelly could. Who wants to go? You have a new website.
Yes, the new website is bettertogetheranimalalliance.org.
And I understand that's your handicraft, Kelly.
Yes, I did the building, and we had a designer do the design, and Lisa did the copywriting. And so it was a nice team effort.
Collaboration. Cool. So people can see more about you at bettertogetheranimalalliance.org. And of course, you have a physical location right there on the, Kootenai Cutoff Road. Yeah,
Kootenai Cutoff Road. And our EIN, our tax ID number, and all of that has not changed. So nobody has to do anything at this point. Everything is still the same.
If you're a donor. Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks again for speaking with us, and keep carrying on. You're doing good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY in our discussion with Mandy Evans, Kelly West, and Lisa Gerber about the newly renamed Better Together Animal Alliance, formerly the Panhandle Animal Shelter. I'm Chris Bessler. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more Community Conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember, you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. Thanks for listening today.